how important the women are. That is the message that is certainly conveyed on this Mother's Day. That is, I suppose, sought to be expressed in the bouquets of flowers and the fruits and the doing the dishes and all the rest of it. It may not always be the sentiment in our homes. It's usually the women that are found doing the shouting and the barging. And if truth be told, I suppose maybe they've good reason to do so. But we must say the women are important. And that is something which also can be gleaned from the Scriptures. In the Garden of Eden, God was to know something that Adam didn't know. And that was that he needed a soulmate. God said that it wasn't good that man should be alone. And thus he was to take Adam, and he was to take a rib out of Adam, and from that rib he was to form woman. And God brought Eve unto Adam. And in the Old Testament we can think of the likes of Deborah, who stood in the gap when no other man was available to deliver the nation. We can think of Esther, who stood before the king on behalf of her people, and she cried, "If I perish, I perish." We can think of Ruth, who was to leave her heathen country of Moab and to go with Naomi, her mother-in-law, and to go to belong to her people and to know her God. And thus we could go on giving various examples of the women who stand out in the Scriptures of truth. What it is to another that I want us to direct our attention towards this evening. And we find her spoken about here in the words of Luke chapter 2. That time had come when the Christ child at 8 days old was to go through the act of circumcision, and he was named Jesus by the high priest. It was a day in which old Simeon longed to see, and he believed that he would see the Christ child before he died. And old Simeon was to speak words that day, even to Mary's heart. I suspect words which Mary never forgot, even as she stood around the cross, but approximately 33 years later. Words that you find in the words of verse 35. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." But it's not Mary that I want to dwell upon. But it is the woman who is mentioned after this. Her name was Anna. And as we take note of what is recorded of her by the Holy Ghost, we notice, right by introduction, we notice at least two strange things about her. The first thing is that we are instructed of her age. Now, not often, if ever again, in the New Testament, are we told a woman's age. It's something which most women keep close to them even to this day. You could get a clip round the lug very easy for asking a woman her age. It's something, gentlemen, you don't do. Learn the lesson. But here was an elderly woman. Here was one who was widowed after she was married just 7 years to her husband. She was a widow for a long time. And we're giving something of her age here. That's something strange. And the second thing which is strange is that we are told what tribe she belonged to, which again is something not common to the New Testament. She was of the tribe of Asher, and Asher has the meaning of happy or blessed. And so, for example, when you read in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, "Happy is that people whose God is their Lord," or "Blessed is the man who standeth not in the counsel of the ungodly," in Psalm chapter 1, then the same word Asher is used on both occasions. Here's a woman, and she was from the tribe Asher. Here's a woman who was happy because the Lord was her God. And as we find her spoken of in verse 38, we have a godly woman to consider on this Mother's Day. A godly woman. Let me read the verse. "She coming in at instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Want you to see firstly there the providence of the Lord. We already know that the Christ child was in the temple. There was Mary, there was Joseph, there was Simeon the high priest. But we also learn something from this opening words in this very verse. It was at that moment that this old saint of the Lord also was to come into the temple. That is no surprise, or it ought to be no surprise to us, when we consider what the Holy Ghost has to say about her in the words of verse 37. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Here was a woman who departed not from the temple, but she served the Lord. Here was a dear old soul, and she loved to be in the house of the Lord. It was her favorite place, and she was there to go to fast and to pray. She wasn't as the hypocrites were, who loved to do those things on the street corner to get the praise of men. But she was one who fasted and prayed to the Lord often in the temple. I wonder, do we love the house of the Lord like this woman did? Oh, the psalmist could say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Here was a widow, and it is recorded of her by the Holy Ghost that she departed not from the temple. Listen, do you love the place where the Lord's honor dwelleth? Do you love the house where he is named the house of prayer? That's a word to the child of God. But I believe as we read in these words that we see something of the providence of God. For it says, and she coming in that instant. God had planned it so that when the Christ, the Savior of the world, was in the temple, that Anna also would come in that moment of time. She could have been at home. She could have been in many another place, but God's timing, men and women, is always right, and it's always perfect timing. And the providence and the timing of the Lord saw to it that the paths of Christ and the paths of Hannah were to meet and were to cross. The clock of God's time never runs slow, and it never runs fast. Remember the words of John chapter 11, if you turn over to them, and verse 6. Concerns that time when the news arrived that Lazarus was sick. Verse 3. And it says, in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. God's timing is always perfect. By the time that he went to this home of Mary and Martha, Lazarus was in this tomb 4 days. But his coming to Lazarus was at the right time, so that the miracle of him being raised from the dead would have the greatest impact, would have the greatest effect, and that much glory would be given to God. And wasn't that what happened following the raising again of Lazarus? For we read later on down that chapter that many of the Jews who had seen the things that Jesus did, they believed him. They believed him. You see, I recall the words of 2 Peter chapter 3, and it speaks of the unbelievers, and it speaks of the scoffers of the last days who sneer at the second coming of the Lord. And if you listen with me to the words of verse 8 and verse 9, it says of that chapter, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You see, the scoffers and the unbelievers say, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as from the beginning. But we are to be mindful that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And it goes on to say, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's just as well the Savior hasn't come back yet. For if he had done so, then some of you would have already appeared before the judgment seat of Christ. And you would have been found unwanting. And you would have been shown the door to the lake of fire, and there you would be burning in hell now. Isn't it a good job the Lord hasn't come back yet? I want you to say this, that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. When God has decreed His coming again, listen, it'll happen. It'll not be a minute late, it'll not be a minute fast. It'll be dead on time. But His patience and His long suffering is so that you would repent of your sin. And you would believe Christ to the salvation of your soul and that you would not perish. You see, it was God's providence and plan that Noah, the preacher of righteousness, should take 120 years in the building of that ark. And it was so that men and women of the would hear of the coming judgment, and they would have time to prepare to meet that desperate and that tragic end, and that they would be shown the door of the ark. That 120 years can only speak to me of the long suffering and the patience of God. Yet how tragic that only Noah and his family were found in the ark. And everyone else perished. Are you in the ark, Christ Jesus, tonight? Oh, listen, God's timing may not be what we think. After all, His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. And we are reminded by the Savior of the hour of His return, no man knoweth but the Father. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Is it any wonder that further down that chapter you have the exhortation therefore to watch? Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. In the providence of God, He brought this woman Anna along to the temple at the very moment when Christ was there. Their paths met. I wonder, did you ever think of that concerning your own life? I believe in a God who is in control tonight. I believe in a sovereign God who is on His throne tonight. And He is working all things out after the counsel of His own will. And it is God's providence that has kept you maybe late someday so that you wouldn't end up in a tragic and a fatal situation. You ever think of that? It is God's providence that has put you in that place where another believer has made himself known to you. And you can look to your workplace tonight and you can think of that soul that has witnessed to your heart before time and time again. That's the providence of God. It is His providence that has brought you to the house of the Lord tonight when you could have been at home or you could have been somewhere else less beneficial to your soul. His providence has meant that you would have a meeting with the Lord. You would hear of Him who died for your soul. And you would hear words whereby you must be saved. You see, that's the goodness of the Lord. And the goodness of the Lord ought to lead thee to repentance. Romans chapter 2. The providence of God led Anna into the temple when Christ was there. Let me show you secondly here the praise to the Lord. I want you to try and picture this scene as it is displayed for us in these words. This old saint of the Lord, having come into the temple, was to lift up her eyes and she was to see the Christ child. She was one who recognized that this was the Christ. This was the one who was promised. This was the Messiah. This was the Savior who would save His people from their sins. I think it more than just a supposition to suggest that the temple possibly was crowded with other people that day. There would have been others there seeking to go about the form of their religion. But the saddest thing surely is this, that we're only given the record here of out of that great crowd of people, only Simeon and this woman Anna recognized the Savior. There were many in the house of the Lord. They had seen the Lord, but they had missed Him. Isn't it the same today? Well, there are multitudes who go into the house of God and they go through their form or the ritual of religion. They believe themselves to be good people. They believe themselves to be religious, for there are religiously found in their church, and yet time after time they miss out with the Lord. They go to church, but they don't see the Christ of God. There's no meeting with the Savior who can save their souls. There's no desire in their heart the way it was with the Greek sirs. We would see Jesus. You come into God's house, Sabbath by Sabbath. I trust it is with that desire in your heart. I would see the Lord. Lord, I want a meeting with Thee tonight. But here was Anna, and she saw the Christ. And having realized who he was, she did what was only appropriate to do. She burst into praise. Look at the words of verse 38. And she come in at an instant. Give thanks likewise unto the Lord. Simeon had cause to do the same. For in his old age the Lord had allowed him to see the Christ before he died. And you know, having saw the Lord, he had no further desire to stay on this earth. He had everything he wanted. Verse 29, if I can just direct your attention over there. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Lord, just take me home now. I've no longer any desire to stay in this earth, for I've seen the Christ. Simeon was found to be praising the Lord. His eyes had seen God's salvation. And Anna, she gives thanks to the Lord here. She gives her praise to the Lord as well. The only Savior of a lost world have come, of whom it was spoken of hundreds of years previous. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. He had come to do the will of the Father. He had come into the world to save sinners. It was the Christ of whom we read about in Genesis chapter 3, that he would come as the seed of the woman, and he would bruise the serpent's head. That promise had now been fulfilled. There was a great cause for thanksgiving. Let me say this, men and women, if the Savior had not come, then not a soul could have been saved. If God in His great love had not ordained that one day heaven should take leave of the only begotten Son of God, then there would have been no Redeemer. No ransom would have been found. For there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. If Christ had not been obedient to the way of the cross, then sinners and rebels just like you and I could never have been saved, could never have been fit for heaven. If that spotless Lamb had not borne away our sins on his cross, on his own body on the tree, and shed his precious blood, if Christ had not died as a sinner's substitute, if he had not satisfied God's divine justice, then you and I could only look forward to an eternity of long suffering and of languishing in hell itself. But dear sinner, tonight, Christ has come, and there is a message of a Savior to your soul, and one who can save you. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. The Lord, the Savior has come, and he died according to the Scriptures and was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And for all who put their faith and for all who put their trust in him, there's eternal life and there's the assurance of a home in heaven with him one day. Let me ask you, do you have any such assurance? Do you know the joy tonight of sins forgiven? Miss Christ and you miss heaven. For there's only one way to heaven. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You don't get to heaven through the Free Presbyterian Church. You don't get to heaven through any church. You don't get to heaven through your baptism or your confirmation or your sitting at the Lord's table unworthily. No, there's only salvation to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Did you ever thank God for sending His only Son? Did you ever thank Him for dying in your guilty room and in your stead? You know, the hymn writer captures something of that in his words. that I read. It's number 103 in our hymn book. It says, "Have you read that he looked to heaven and said, 'Tis finished, 'twas for thee.'" Listen to this. Have you ever said, "I thank thee, Lord, for giving thy life for me"? Did you ever thank him for taking those nails in his hands and his feet, for wearing that crown of thorns, for dying in the sinner's place, in your place? For he who knew sin, yet he became sin for us. He wasn't dying for any ill of his own. There was no guile found in his mouth. He was dying as a sinner's substitute. Did you ever thank the Lord for dying on the cross for a sinner like you? It would only be a meaningful thanks if you were to accept what the Lord has done for you personally and accept Christ as your Savior. Mean nothing to say, "Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross and you're not saved." It's only meaningful if you'll come to that place. You recognize I'm the sinner who needs Christ. Christ, you died for me. You accept personally what the Lord has done on the cross, having paid that, finished that work of your redemption. Only then could you praise the Lord in the way in which Anna did, for it was a thanks from her heart. Dear soul, tonight will you look away to the cross and be saved. Go home praising, go home thanking the Lord for what he has done for you. To go on rejecting the Savior, to go on rejecting the work of Calvary, is surely the epitome of thanklessness and ungratefulness. Psalm 118:1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." It is my prayer that some soul tonight will go home thanking the Lord for his wonderful salvation. Here's a godly woman. She was often found in God's house, and she's found praising the Lord. But let me show you finally here the proclamation about the Lord. You see, Anna, in seeing the Lord Jesus and in giving thanks for him, she was to do something following that. And we are given notice of it in verse 38. "And she coming at an instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Here was a woman who spake of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was one who witnessed of Christ, not only in her own life and how she had known that. You see, Anna, her name means grace. Anna was one who had experienced the grace of God reaching down and saving her soul. And she belonged to the tribe of happiness. Dear soul, tonight, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You want happiness tonight. You want blessedness tonight. You'll not find it in the world. You'll only find it in Christ and in sins forgiven. The Lord God had been gracious to her. She was one who lived up to her name, but she witnessed that the Lord Jesus Christ had come. And as we have noted this morning, the lepers who returned to Samaria with the good news of life, well, here's Anna, and she went forth with the good news from that temple that the Savior whom the Scriptures spoke of, he had come. Anna was a woman who proclaimed Christ, and it tells us to whom she spake of the Savior. It was to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. It is a word that we were looking at around the Lord's table this morning. It means to purchase or to buy back. It was used of the slaves which could be bought out of the slave market so that they were set free. And there were a people, both in the city of Jerusalem and in all Israel, who were looking for a great deliverance. They looked for redemption to come, nationally speaking. They were as prisoners who desired to be set loose and to be set free. They were under the bondage of a Roman soldiers and under the bondage of Roman authority, and they desired redemption. And Anna was able to proclaim the name of Christ to them. The one who can break the chains of sin. The one who can set the prisoner free. For if the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. It is a word which cannot take on any greater meaning than that of delivering a soul from the bondage of sin. The sinner due to his sin is in the prison house. He cannot pay the ransom for himself. He cannot work to get his freedom, for he is in chains. And if the sinner tonight, and if you tonight, if you're not saved, if you're ever to go free, then there needs to be another who will come and pay the price for your own deeds and pay the price for his ransom. That ransom price was the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we can say to your heart, in the authority of God's word, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. But bless God, he washed it white as snow. That Redeemer whom Anna spake of was the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, that sacrificial lamb who would lay down his life for his sheep. What a message she was to proclaim. She was to go forth with the good news to all them that looked for redemption. Just a wee word to the child of God tonight. Are you following in the footsteps of this godly woman? Are you speaking of Christ to all who need God's redemption? How shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Tell me, sinner, are you one who is looking for God's redemption? Are you one who is searching and looking for the one who can set you free from the bondage of your sin? There's hope for your soul tonight. There's hope to be found in the Savior whom Anna saw that day in the temple, and the one in whom she spoke to others about. He has paid that full price for sins. He has opened the prison doors so that you can come out of the darkness of your sins and into the glorious light of God's salvation. My dear unsaved friend, the prison gates have been swung open. But what you must do is to take that step of faith and trust the one who has obtained your redemption, the sinner's redemption at the highest cost. Will you come to the Savior tonight? Will you come to him by faith, be saved? You can go away from this place redeemed with precious blood. See you for time and for eternity. Here's a godly woman. For she went forth to proclaim Christ to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I trust that you will turn to Christ tonight. God help you to come and to be wise and choose Christ and be saved. Amen. May the Lord bless that word to your heart tonight for his own name's sake.